Good evening, everyone. Let me introduce you myself. I'm the Reverend Donna Hayes, and tonight I'm moderator of the Presbytery of Perth, being called to lead the worship tonight, conduct the ordination and induction of Chris Barless. As a minister, we are blessed with many privileges, and one of the greatest must be conducting an ordination. I think it's more special to me because I'm right at the other end of the service, on my way out. Retirement just around the corner. Oh, don't be sad. So it is, though, a double delight being so near the end of my ministry. And I have particularly fond memories of a training placement I did here in this building some 24 years ago. And I have seen one or two looks of recognition as people have been warmly greeting me. Now, never did I think I would be returning as the presbytery moderator. Chris, I would urge you, be careful. You never know what the future has in store for you. With God, all things are possible. And now you, as a church family, have come together as Craigowl Dundee Church. How exciting! A new beginning, a new ministry. God is good. And we are privileged to be here on this night to worship God. So we'll start with our call to worship this evening using the words of the prophet Isaiah. Behold, God is doing a new thing here, now, in the midst of our routines. The Holy One who created heaven and earth forms us afresh today. Let our spirits rise and greet our Maker. And we'll begin by singing to God's glory. Only by grace can we enter.
Thank you. draw near to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth and all of heaven is filled with your glory. We worship and bow down before you this evening, declaring you to be our Maker, Saviour, and King. With grateful hearts, we proclaim your goodness and righteousness, for you are trustworthy and true, far, far greater than anyone or anything. With awe and wonder, we gaze upon your holiness, and as we do so, we become more and more aware of our own sinfulness. For we have sinned, we have said and done what we should not have, and we have not said or done what we should. We have allowed cynicism to have the last laugh, apathy to drag us down, impatience and anger to guide us. We have forgotten our first love and the calling you have made on our lives. So we come seeking your forgiveness, which you give freely, but at great cost to yourself. In and through the sacrifice of your dear Son, Jesus. And we accept the fresh start you give, the freedom you offer, the love and acceptance which make up who you are. And now we ask, speak to us as we gather around your word to sing your praises. Fill our hearts with joy as we celebrate the beginning of this new ministry. Bless our time of worship with your presence in the power of your Spirit. And in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first reading this evening is from Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Amen.
Our Gospel reading tonight comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe, because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending on him, the Son of Man." The word of God.
We're going to sing again, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. My chains are gone, I've been set free."
Amazing grace, how sweet. like snow. The sun forbid to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be
the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every minister or deacon has a call story. Every person involved in any kind of ministry within the church, paid or unpaid, has a tale to tell if anyone should ask them, of how they felt a nudge from God to do what they do now, or perhaps have done in the past. A nudge, or maybe more like a shove. Some might have stories of subtle signs along the way, while others saw something more like neon lights flashing in the darkness, which could not be ignored. And all of us, each person here, is called in one way or another. First of all, we are called to follow Christ, as Philip and Nathaniel were. And then once you have accepted that invitation, you are called to serve within the church in your own particular way. Isaiah was called to be a prophet long, long ago. My Bible commentary on the book of Isaiah describes him as a man with a big vision of God, a deep awareness of his own sinfulness, a profound experience of the grace of God, and a willingness to spend and be spent in God's service, whatever the cost. We understand that all this is true when we hear the story of Isaiah's calling. It is all summed up there for us before we read anything else. The passage which we heard read for us this evening, which ended with God asking, who will go for us? And Isaiah immediately saying, yes, yes, his hand shooting straight up into the air. Isaiah did not say, here I am, send that guy. Or, here I am, please, please don't send me. Isaiah's enthusiasm is rare, I think, and noteworthy for that reason. Contrast him with other call stories in the Bible. The great prophet and lawgiver Moses, who's mentioned in the Gospel reading, when he was asked to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt, he came up with all sorts of reasons why he could not do it, when in fact he was the ideal person. Gideon, in the book of Judges, could not believe that God would choose him as a leader, for he was the least important man in the least important clan of all Israel. Gideon needed a sign, and then another, laying out his fleece on the ground to make sure he wasn't just imagining it all. Jeremiah argued he was too young. And Jonah turned and ran the other way. No, I don't think so, God. But God had other plans. Nathaniel, the disciple of Jesus, was cynical and slightly facetious, I think, initially. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He asked when told by Philip they had found the Messiah. And in all of that, I realize that I have overlooked Philip with his enthusiastic response. And I have to mention Mary, the mother of Jesus, who, after clarifying how it was all going to happen, responded with a, yes, I am the Lord's servant. with Isaiah's call story, and I skipped over the lead up to his yes, all the things that helped him to say yes in the first place. So let me backtrack a little to the start of the chapter. When Isaiah saw a vision of God, one which was so magnificent that we are still talking about it today, 2,750 years later or something like that. Isaiah was serving in the temple one day when he saw God seated on a throne, high above him, wearing a robe, the train of which filled the entire temple. And around God were seraphim, flaming creatures which had multiple wings and which called to each other. How amazingly, fantastically, outrageously holy God is. The sound of their voices was so loud that the temple shook on its foundations and the sanctuary filled with smoke. All of Isaiah's senses must have been stimulated within this experience. The sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and touch must have been overwhelming. And he realized what was happening. As he did so, he was terrified, not least because faced with the sheer beauty of holiness in God, he could not help but be painfully aware of his own unholiness. His response to coming face to face with the Almighty God was to recognize and confess his sinfulness, his unclean lips. Every word I say is sinful. I blaspheme, I curse, I lie, I gossip, I flatter, I complain, I manipulate, I boast, I am rude. And that's my list, not Isaiah's, but I think he might have said some of these. Most people who are called to a particular role within the church, such as ministry, will tell you of their feelings of inadequacy for the task ahead. They know they are sinners. They know their faults all too well. They know there are gaps in their abilities. And if they don't know these things, they're probably not the right person to be called to ministry. Not now, anyway, not yet. Simon Peter, when called by Jesus in Luke's gospel after the big catch of fish when they lowered their nets down on the other side of the boat, Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Faced with Christ's holiness, he confessed his sinfulness, just as Isaiah did in the presence of God. It's just as well that's not the end of the story, in either case or in ours. Thankfully, we are not left to wallow in the sense of our own unworthiness. For God calls us onward to serve, despite all our failings. We answer the call not because of any worthiness within ourselves, but because God, in his grace and mercy, has made us worthy. In Isaiah's case, God sent one of the fiery creatures with a pair of tongs to pick up a coal from the fire to touch Isaiah's lips with it. It sounds painful to me, but that pain is somehow irrelevant, lost in the significance of the words of forgiveness spoken to Isaiah and spoken to us all. Your guilt is gone. Your sins are forgiven. Our mouths are not touched with burning coals. We feel no physical pain in the forgiveness we are offered. Instead, we look upon the one who suffered terribly at the hands of sinners as he hung on the cross and cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. When we know the whole story of Isaiah's calling, and we don't skip to the end of it too quickly, we see that it was only after Isaiah received forgiveness for his sin, only once his lips were cleansed, that he was able to volunteer so readily to the calling of God. "Here I am, send me." As I said already, I think Isaiah's enthusiasm to step forward is very refreshing. It's infectious as well, but it has travelled down through the years, inspiring many others to say yes to God. If Isaiah were to have lived in the 100-acre wood with Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh, I think he would have been the Tigger of the prophets. bouncing around on his tail. Chris Sparless, in his enthusiasm for life and the gospel, reminds me of Tigger. Some of you here may also be Tiggers, and some may be Eeyores like cynical Nathaniel, and some may be like Philip, who I think maybe is a Kanger, because she says she is kind people, and Philip says, come and see. And that variety of us all is very good. We are all called to follow Christ, to serve in his church and in the world, whoever we are. Tonight we meet to ordain Chris. We will set him apart to minister to others within this community of believers. All of you who I have got to know a little over the past 16 months as interim moderator, and I have to say it has been a pleasure and a privilege to be able to do so. I've been blessed in watching this process take place. And tonight is the culmination of what we have been working towards. It is a holy moment in which we rejoice. And we remember that tomorrow, Chris will sit at his desk in his office, perhaps staring out the window, and he will ask, what now? Yeah. I know, because I've done it. It's like a wedding day with all the joy and laughter and excitement, but the real work begins in the weeks, months and years which lie ahead. Still, this day, like a wedding day, will always serve as a reminder for Chris and the congregation of how God has moved to bring him here. Isaiah was called to give a hard message of judgment to his people. Perhaps it might have changed whether he signed up or not, whether he volunteered or not, if he knew what he had to say. But Isaiah was faithful in giving that message, and eventually his message became one of hope. However, it was not an easy ride for him. Nathaniel and Philip were called to be disciples, to learn from Jesus, and eventually to go and teach and live and proclaim the message of God's kingdom themselves. A message which would eventually cost them their lives. Just as with Nathaniel and Philip and with Isaiah, we are not called within a vacuum. We live in the world with all its uncertainties, just as they did. We serve in a church which at this moment in time can feel precarious. We reach out to people in the wider community who are all too aware of the transient nature of life, of its cruelties and injustices. So finally, we return our attention to God, the Mighty One, who sits on the throne, whose power is greater than any king or ruler on earth, whose greatness is wrapped up in mercy and grace, compassion and love, empathy and welcome, and who is to be found in his only begotten Son, Jesus, who lived, died, and rose again from the dead, and all for our sakes, that we might know the living God intimately, we might be able to live our lives without fear, and to respond to our calling, whatever that calling is, with a resounding and enthusiastic yes, because we are in awe of God's holiness, have had our sins forgiven, and hold on to the promise that Christ walks beside us every step of the way. And all to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Now I invite you to stand as we say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing our third hymn, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. Shepherds will defend me through the deepest valley, He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. This I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day I know He will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat,
We come now to the narrative, which is really the story of how we got to be here tonight. And we go back to the fact that the congregations of Chalmers, Ardler and Strathmartin churches were united on July the 1st, 2024, to form Craigowl Parish Church. The congregation was given the right to call a minister under the Presbytery Mission Plan on the basis of a 7-year reviewable charge. Following due process, Chris Barlas was elected by the congregation on the 17th of August to be their minister, and the call was then signed by 97 members with 5 papers of concurrence. And the call was then sustained by the Presbytery of Perth on the 9th of September 2025. No objections have been received by the Presbytery to the life and doctrine of Chris Barlas, and we therefore now proceed to ordain him and induct him to be minister of this charge on the basis of a 7-year reviewable tenure.
And now we come to Chris's ordination and induction. Chris, or do I say Tigger, would you like to come? We begin with the preamble. Now, the words of the preamble are from 1929, and it has been decreed that they must be used in their original form. So they might, to some, sound rather long-winded and somewhat incomprehensible. But to others, they will sound as an electrifying statement of the Church's faith and purpose. I do hope that you hear them in this more positive light. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high has given gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ, we are met as a presbytery to ordain Chris Barlas to the office of holy ministry by prayer and the laying on of hands by the presbyters to whom it belongs, and to induct him into the pastoral charge of Craigowl Dundee Parish Church of Scotland. In this act, the Church of Scotland, as part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, he freely offers to all people, upon repentance of sins, upon repentance and faith, the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, and calls them to labor in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognizing liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, in dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the said confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be the sole judge. I told you it was electrifying. Chris, I now have to ask you the prescribed questions, And I hope you will answer, I do. Do you believe in one God, Chris, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and Lord? Do you believe the word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, to be the supreme rule of faith and life?
I do.
Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the confession of faith of this church?
I do.
Do you acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the word of God? And do you promise to be subject in the Lord to this presbytery and to the General Assembly of this church, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs?
I do.
Do you promise to seek the peace and unity of this church, to uphold its doctrine, worship, government, and to cherish a spirit of love to all your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are not zeal for the Lord, love to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire for the salvation of all people, so far as you know your own heart, your great motives and chief inducements to enter into the office of holy ministry?
They are.
Do you engage in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to live a godly and circumspect life, and faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully to discharge your duties of to discharge the duties of your ministry, seeking in all things the advancement of the kingdom of God?
I do.
Do you accept and close with the call to be pastor of this charge, and promise through grace to study to approve yourself a faithful minister of the gospel among these people? Chris, you're now required to sign the appointed formula as a seal of the vows you have made.
The formula which Chris has signed says, I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the confession of faith of this church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the word of God, and promise that I will submit myself thereto and concur therewith. I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this church.
Thank you, John. I'm going to invite members of Presbytery to come forward for the laying on of hands. If you would gather round, please. It's okay. I'll tell you when. What do you do now? Kneel now. If you can gather around a wee bit more so more folk can get in, please. That's lovely. Thank you. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you call us in your mercy. You sustain us by your power. Through every generation, your wisdom supplies our need. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the apostle and high priest of our faith and the shepherd of our souls. By his death he has overcome death, and having ascended into heaven, has poured out his Spirit, making some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip all for the work of ministry and to build up his body, the church. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this, your servant Chris, whom we now in your name and in obedience to your will, by the laying on of hands, ordain and appoint to the office of the holy ministry within the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, committing to him authority to minister your word and sacraments and to share in the government of your church. Increase in this your servant the gifts of your grace, that he may serve the ministry of Christ and become more and more fitted to the work which you have called him to undertake. Let us pray. As he listens with all God's people in this place for the living word in scripture and sacrament, may he joyously point to the source of their faith and gather them round the table of the Lord. Standing with them under judgment, may he recall them to the purity of life in Christ. May he be for us all a source of strength and inspiration, that with him we may share in the ministry of Christ, bringing reconciliation to those who are divided, peace and healing to those who are broken, justice to those who are oppressed, and hope for those who are lost. Receive these our prayers for him, whose calling is to pray for all, and with your faithful servants bring him at the last into your eternal joy. Through Christ who died for us, rose again, and lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Chris, please stand. Chris, I now declare that you have been ordained into the office of holy ministry. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King and head of this church, and by the authority of this presbytery, I induct you to this charge. And in token thereof, we give you the right hand of fellowship. And while we're giving the right hand of fellowship, we'll all sing a blessing for you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You're going to have to form an orderly queue, folks, not mob him. Wonderful.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
I think it would be very appropriate if all were to applaud and show their congratulations. I'm going to ask the congregation, those members of the congregation of Craig Owl, to remain standing, and the others can all be seated. We now come to the question to the congregation. Please remember that you are entering into a partnership with your minister. You will work together in this parish to the glory of God. So these questions are a vital part of this service. The first two should be answered with "we do," and the third with "we will." Do you, the people of this congregation, in receiving Chris Barbas, whom you have called to be your minister, offer him your welcome and promise him your encouragement and support?
We do.
Do you now agree to share with your minister the responsibility for Christian witness and Christian service?
We do.
And will you give of your time, talents, and money for the work of the church in the world?
We will.
May God give you joy as together, as the people of God, you seek and serve his kingdom in this parish. You may be seated, and I have great pleasure in presenting you with your call, Chris. Share ministry. It will happen. Can I invite a member of the congregation, the appropriate member, to come forward with the first sign of shared ministry?
That we are called to be Christ's body, teach us the faith so we can be true to the gospel. Together, may we listen for the word of God.
In our words, in our lives, may we declare the good news to all people.
By water and the Holy Spirit, we are claimed as God's own. May you us in our calling as world.
Together, may we live out our baptism as a loving community in Christ.
May we nurture one another in faith, uphold one another in prayer, and encourage one another in service.
In celebrating Holy Communion, we know Christ present among us. Gather us round the table that we may be united as his body.
Together may we celebrate the meal of the kingdom.
We shall always be ready to meet Christ in this place and show our lives the promise of his reconciliation.
Sorry. Return to your spot. Chris, we, your brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the Presbytery of Perth, rejoice with you that through the love and mercy of God, you have been called to the ministry of word and sacrament to be minister of this charge. I now charge you in the name of the church to seek to be worthy of your calling. With a humble spirit and a grateful heart, work for the building up of the body of Christ. Together with the people to whom you are bound, share in the ministry of the reconciliation of all things in Christ Jesus. Care for the people in your charge. As you exercise your own gifts, encourage them to seek out and discover their own particular gifts. As you pray continually for them, gratefully receive the love and the strength that they also offer to you and your family. Chris, you have had a long and emotional journey to get to this point. From way back, from when God first called you, from your time as pastoral assistant at Inverkip, where you shared your boundless energy and enthusiasm, Was that Shades of Tigger even in those days? Through all the training that the Kirk has required of you and the various placements that you have had, like your time at Bear's Den and your probationary placement at the Mount Kirk in Greena, with each one blessing you with so much to help and encourage you, and you in your turn blessing them as you develop and grow, supported through it all by the care and love of Marion and the other members of your family and friends. And that long road that has brought you here, and what joy, not only for you, but also for the people of Craigowl. Chris, seek to encourage and to teach as one who is under the word of God. Through sermon and sacrament, bring God's people to maturity of faith and send them out to live and serve the Lord, strong in the spirit to the glory of God the Father. As a minister of the Church of Scotland, you have a solid responsibility to minister to those within the parish and offer them the ordinances of ministry. Reach out to those who have not yet come to faith. Do not neglect the gifts you have been given. Be a faithful student of Holy Scripture, and what you read, may you believe. What you believe, may you teach, and what you teach, may you practice. Pray with perseverance. Renew your mind, refresh your body, and open your life to the fullness of God. And make you, and may the God of peace make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory now and forever. Amen. You get a seat for a moment, because now I have some words for the congregation. This evening, a new ministry has begun. Not simply of the one who has made these solemn vows before me, but of you also who are members of Christ in this place. Each of you has received gifts by which you may share in the ministry of the church. Renew these gifts by their exercise in Christ's ministry to the world. And as you use them in the building up of the body of Christ in love, unity, and peace. Gather in the house of God, minister and people together. Wait expectantly for the living word. Seek in sacraments the presence of Christ among you. Make offering of what you have and who you are, and receive the blessing of God. As you welcome your new minister, make this community of Christ a place of true welcome for those who seek or for those who are in need of any kind. Find ways of making the word declared in worship known publicly through what you say and do. Uphold and encourage your minister and his family with your friendship and your prayers, asking that the Holy Spirit may be poured richly out on all, that you may know all and do the will of God. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us as you called your first disciples to follow you, not simply to believe, not merely to declare our faith and confess you as Lord, but to keep on following wherever you lead. As we walk with you, give us a sure knowledge of Christ's presence, that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life, so that we may serve you in righteousness and truth. We pray for your church here in Craigowl. Your people are on a mighty journey, traveling in faith as they face up to many challenges in this time of development and change. The way is proving eventful, but now they, together with Chris, are ready to travel on in your call to them to be your faithful and true followers whilst being the body of Christ here in this community, reaching out to all people in faith and in love with a zeal to spread your word in all that they do. Bless them with your grace. Chris brings a great enthusiasm to this charge with his conviction and dedication. May he find support and encouragement for the many projects that will be initiated. And may he be fulfilled, encouraged, and surrounded with love. We remember, O God, those who love Christ's church, but who are prevented from sharing in this service tonight through illness or frailty, work or commitments. Keep us united with them and help us in our generation to hand on to the generations to come the heritage of faith untarnished and undiminished to the glory of your name. Amen. And now one of the most important announcements of the evening, refreshments afterwards in the hall. We do hope that as many of you as possible will stay for this time of fellowship. It is so important. And I would ask you at the end of this next hymn to remain standing for the benediction and as the Bible and then presbytery leave the church. So let's sing, "To God be the glory."
To God be the glory, great things.
God who called us here is sending us out to turn words into deeds, worship into service, and vision into reality. Together we have celebrated the faith. Now let us go and share it in the name of Christ. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this night and forevermore. Amen.